This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there. Welcome to TPF Live, episode number 91. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen. I'm delighted to have you on and listening to this special edition of the World's Fastest Hour Racing Talk. Nathan Solomon, my usual co-host, is off this week, but we have a great show nevertheless, as we'll look back at all the action that took place at the Charlotte Motor Speedway Roval, and then look ahead to the race weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Then, to cap off our show, we have a really fun in-the-hot-seat interview with Harrison Burton, driver of the number 21 Motorcraft Quick Lane Dex Imaging Ford Mustang, fielded by Wood Brothers Racing. Harrison will stop by, he'll talk about his dynamic with new crew chief Jeremy Bolins, and also talk about how he's managing through the ebbs and flows of the competitive scene in the NASCAR Cup Series. We have a lot to get to on the show, and I am so appreciative of each of you listening to me on this podcast. So whether you're at home, working in the office, or at the beach, or even better, at the racetrack, come along, friends, and enjoy this special episode. Now, before we get to our usual segment, Podium Perspectives, let's hear from our presenting sponsor, SpoilerDiecast.com. Hey, racing fans. Are you in the hunt for the latest diecast cars from Lionel Racing, or F1, or IndyCar diecasts? Well, look no further. If you head to SpoilerDiecast.com, you'll find all of the latest and greatest diecast cars and get free shipping and 5% off of your orders if you use promo code TPF by spending $20 or more on your items. Head over to SpoilerDiecast.com and let Evan and his team know that you want the best diecast cars around. And if you use promo code TPF, you'll be in the winner's circle. It doesn't get better than that, so just head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com and make your latest purchases today. Be sure to take advantage of that promo code, people, because promo code TPF not only benefits you with getting 5% off of orders of $20 or more, but you will also enjoy fast, free shipping from Evan and his team, who will make sure your diecast cars or memorabilia arrive sooner than you realize. And it also helps out the Podium Finish with that promo code, so you're supporting a great small business and your favorite motorsports media outlet. Now, with that, folks, let's head on over to Podium Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. Last Sunday's Bank of America Roval 400 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway Roval featured a lot of intriguing storylines, but in my opinion, the two storylines that stood out to me was Kyle Larson's comeback from a practice crash on Saturday afternoon when he crashed into the wall during a routine run while having a top 10 speed effort in that practice session. That accident forced Larson to start 36, but more importantly, he had to work with a car that he had no familiarity with on the track, lacking any time to prepare and massage that car to their liking. Nevertheless, Larson was careful, conservative, but he raced wisely, driving up from the 36th starting position, getting up to 5th in stage 2 to net 6 valuable stage points, and he placed 13th, which may not sound like the best finish ever, but when you consider how the Roval's been a really tough track for the Elk Grove California driver, a 13th place finish seems like a good result. But was it enough for him to make his way into the round of 8? Well, the answer to that question is yes, it was a good situation for him. As it turned out, even though Denny Hamlin had crashed out of the race, he had enough playoff points and a cushion to advance due to his performances throughout the season and how his race at the Roval turned out until stage 3. On the other hand, Kyle Busch, who was on the outside looking in, did everything he could to make it into the round of 8. He was consistently inside the top 5, challenged the likes of William Byron, Ty Gibbs, and AJ Allmendinger. But as it turned out, even the podium finish was not enough for Kyle Busch to overcome the tough strategy at Talladega and also the incidents that took place at Texas, eliminating him from the round of 12, along with the likes of Brad Keselowski, Ross Chastain, and Bubba Wallace. On the other hand, though, besides Larson, Tyler Reddick, because of a great top 10 finish, is now in the round of 8. We also have RFK Racing's Chris Buescher, who's joining the fray. Easily, this will be his best season to date, given how strong the number 17 team has been. But of course, the most intriguing story to me had to be the fact that AJ Allmendinger, whose future hangs in the balance for next season, looked like a man who was so committed, focused, and was able to go and execute a really strong, clean race, scoring his third career NASCAR Cup Series victory, which happens to be all on road courses, of course in 2014 at Watkins Glen International, 2021 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course, and now this past Sunday at Charlotte Motor Speedway Roval. Naturally, AJ is a really emotional, fired up individual, but it was a bit of a shock, I would say, to see the tears rolling down his eyes after he won the race. Could it be because he realizes how tough NASCAR Cup Series racing can be, and the fact that the journey to get back into Cup was really difficult, required a lot of sacrifices and determination for him to show to Chris Rice and Matt Colick that he is the man who can do trophy hunting for them? Or is it the fact that AJ has a lot of great things going on with being a new father to his son Arrow, along with his wife Tara, and just realizing that in the past 10 years, he has certainly shown that he is a great driver who just needed a good opportunity. In either event, anytime AJ wins, everybody wins with how jubilant, excited, and genuine he is, even partaking in the celebration with fans to their surprise, even though Joseph Newgarden and Ryan Blaney did much of the same thing during the Memorial Day race weekend. You know, when AJ wins, it's just like a situation where you can't help but feel happy for that individual. You know that AJ wears his heart on his sleeves and the journey he's had to go through to be back in NASCAR, not only with what happened in 2012, but also too the fact that he is a real individual like you and I, acknowledging the struggles he goes through mentally, and just to be able to showcase that yes, as he battles those, he can also have winning days, is a testament to the human spirit. So on behalf of the Podium Finish team and TPF Live, we congratulate AJ Allmendinger, Chris Rice, Matt Colick, and the entire number 16 Celsius Colick Racing Chevrolet Camaro team on this magnificent victory. Also too, we also have to give some credit to Carson Hocevar this week, because topics 2 and 3 delve into silly season. Now, in the past, silly season would kick off around this time of the year, but in the past 10 or 20 years, it's safe to say that silly season can kick off as early as the spring. But one news that we knew about, and we were just waiting for it to become official, was where Carson Hocevar would end up for 2024. Given his strong efforts in the Truck Series, and the fact that he's been pretty competitive in the number 42 Legacy Motor Club Chevrolet Camaro entry, he is named the driver of the number 77 Spire Motorsports Cup Series effort ride for next year, so therefore he'll be teammates with Corey LaJoy and Zane Smith. It should be a very interesting dynamic over that emerging team, knowing that the fact that they were once a team that didn't get a lot of love from fans, especially with the fact that they were mostly around just to hold charters and do the business aspects of NASCAR and didn't show competitiveness, despite Justin Haley's victory in the 2019 Summer Race at Daytona. Now, with the fact that Corey LaJoy has done a solid job in the number 7 car, and the fact they have Zane Smith via Trackhouse Racing, and now with Carson Hocevar, one of the emerging superstar drivers who's only 20 years old, this is going to be a team we need to watch. They're not exactly going to be playoff material, but they could certainly shake up the mid-pack battles that we see during the season. So keep your eyes out on Carson Hocevar and the entire Spire Motorsports organization to do great things in 2024. The other news we should be watching as well is the silly season movements in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Earlier this week, it was announced that Richard Childress Racing and Whelen would not have Sheldon Creed driving the number 2 Chevrolet Camaro entry in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Per Lee Spencer, there are some rumblings around the garage area that we'll see Sheldon Creed driving for Joe Gibbs Racing next season. Now, of course, Joe Gibbs Racing's Xfinity program certainly could use some drivers, as a lot of their drivers are going on the Cup or other teams. So it'll be interesting to see what's happening there. And if you folks missed this on Sunday afternoon's press conference with A.J. Allmendinger and the colleague executives, one journalist in particular pressed on about the status of Chandler Smith. And the room naturally neglected to address that. They deflected it, as a matter of fact. Does this mean that Chandler Smith is going to be driving for Joe Gibbs Racing next season? It's not going to be a totally far-fetched situation, given that Chandler Smith did drive a Toyota in the Truck Series for KBM. So, we'll see what happens, folks. Lots to see and do out there. And who knows what's going to happen with Ty Dillon. Does he slot into the number 2 Xfinity ride for next season because of his connections with Grandpa and Richard Childress? Well, we'll let you know, folks. Stay tuned, because a lot of movement's going to be happening in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and all pretty much throughout the top 3 NASCAR series. Now, in this case, folks, I know that Nathan Solomon's been really spectacular with his winning time picks, but I'm not him. Of course, me. I'm Rob Tiongson. So I'm going to do my best to give some great winning time picks for Las Vegas Motor Speedway Race Weekend, starting off with a NASCAR Xfinity Series ALSCO Uniforms 302 with defending race winner Josh Berry. Now, in this case here, just considering the race weekend that we saw earlier this year, it was no surprise that Chandler Smith was really strong. And if he's going to make a statement in terms of contending for the Championship 4, maybe trying to settle his situation for next season, a victory at Las Vegas would certainly go a long way. So I'll go with him and Colleague Racing's number 16 entry to get the victory on Saturday afternoon. Which, by the way, folks, we will have a solar eclipse on Saturday, so please be careful if you wish to view this. Now, as far as Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series South Point 400 is concerned, with defending race winner Joey Logano, I think you have to look back again to the spring race. And who were the two emerging contenders in that race? Hendrick Motorsports' William Byron and Kyle Larson. Now, Kyle Larson was certainly in position to go and win the race before a late race caution jumbled up the field, and William Byron was able to pounce on his teammate with ease. I don't think it's going to be quite that easy this time, knowing that the number 5 team has considered every scenario possible to avoid a late race defeat. So I will go with the number 5 of Kyle Larson to win Sunday's race and punch his ticket into the Championship 4, which would be a relief for them, because then they can just go for victories without repercussions at Homestead Miami as well as Martinsville. And those are tracks that they've all won at in the past. So Larson looks like a really dangerous driver to me. So for my picks again, folks, I'm going with Chandler Smith and Kyle Larson. But I'd like to hear from you folks. What do you think of my picks? Well, all across any social media platform, such as X, Instagram, Threads, or Facebook, search me up by the name of Rob Tiongson. And if you happen to make the race-winning picks, much like Nathan has these last couple of weeks, well, unlike Nathan, you will get a free diecast car from me, a 2023 in-stock 164, courtesy of SpoilerDiecast.com. So make it worth your while, folks. Study those analytics, make your picks, and if you get it right, you get a free diecast car. Well, we're having so much fun here on episode number 91 that it's time for us to go head on over to the hot seat segment with Harrison Burton. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to another edition of In the Hot Seat. And of course, I'm Rob Tiongson, host of The Podium Finish Live and editor-in-chief of The Podium Finish. We have a returning guest who hasn't been around since basically January, which is weird, but Harrison Burton's back better than ever. And I'm so happy to have the driver of the number 21 Motorcraft Dex Imaging Ford Mustang fielded by the Wood Brothers. Harrison, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You have a better diecast collection, to say the least, than mine right now.
Yeah. You've got a good background, though. But I've got a few behind me for sure. I've got some of my dad's, some of mine, some of just some Wood Brothers cars. So yeah, I've got a good little collection going behind me for sure.
I love it. It's always good to see a driver who loves their everyday work in their house. So I should probably do the same with my job, but enough about me. Let's talk about you, of course. You're the reason why we have you in the hot seat. And like I said, we haven't had you on since the beginning of the season. I know it's kind of been a challenging one, but you've been pushing through and lots of things have changed. Let's actually talk about the fact that since we've last talked, you've been working with a familiar face, but a different crew chief in Jeremy Bolins. How have things been going for you with gelling with him?
Yeah, it's been going good. I think, you know, I really liked working with Brian Wilson, who's now on the two car. But both of our groups kind of just needed a reset, right? I think both of our groups are able to perform well at times, but we haven't really had the consistency between me or Austin that we needed. You know, at the end of the day, that's, you know, I think we as a group kind of came together and felt like a change was the kind of the best thing. We believe in the people we have, but, you know, just needed to kind of flip the matchups around, I guess, and get different personalities with different people and understand that, you know, it's a good opportunity to kind of audit everything you do as a driver, right? Like, all your preparation can change, everything can kind of reset, and we can go at it again. And, it's been pretty good. I think the first few weeks of doing that has been, pretty fun. It's been different. You know, I've enjoyed trying to get to know Jeremy. He's, you know, I knew him in the shop and saw him around, but didn't really know him as well as I do now, obviously. So it's important to kind of learn those relationships as fast as you can. And then, you know, on top of that, we have, you know, a lot of new team members as well. The engineer, the car chief, mechanics are different. So we've got kind of a half of a team swap between me and the two. And, you know, I feel like it's been working for both of us. We just have to kind of execute, but we've had some good speed these first few weeks working together, and that's been definitely encouraging for sure.
That's a dynamic that I don't think a lot of people understand when they read about the crew chief change, is that there's also been personnel changes. So in a way, it's almost like you're in 2024 mode, like 4 or 5 months ahead of time. But let's talk about the most important aspect, which is the driver and crew chief relationship. You know, you kind of mentioned a little bit there, but to your point, Harrison, how has the dynamics been with Jeremy, like in terms of his personality versus what you knew with Brian the last year and a half?
Yeah, I think they've, you know, kind of come up from different trees, if you will. The NFL kind of has coaching trees. I guess NASCAR kind of has, you know, crew chief trees where people are taught by other people. And you can kind of see that influence where Jeremy spent a lot of time with RCR. He spent time with the Wood Brothers beforehand. And so, you know, he's got some different backgrounds to Brian, who, you know, Brian has been at Team Penske most of his career. And so is Jeremy. But you know, it's kind of been like an interesting dynamic to get to know, you know, different perspectives on things, different ways of looking at things, how each crew chief prioritizes what. I'd say Jeremy's a bit more of a aggressive type of leader, not necessarily that Brian wasn't, but Jeremy's an intense guy and is a demanding guy. And, you know, I think that's been a good energy for our team to kind of get that kind of leadership and get a guy that's going to demand a lot out of us because we have a great opportunity and we need to make the most of it. So, you know, it's been fun with Jeremy. I think he's, you know, he's not afraid to tell the truth about, racing to anybody. And, you know, I've made a mistake or two here and there when we first started getting started, and he'll kind of let me know. And then afterwards he'll come back and be like, "Hey man, like, you know, I didn't mean to make you mad or whatever." I'm like, "No, you're fine. Like, let's just go to work, man." So it's been good to kind of learn those boundaries. And I think he doesn't really, you know, I tell them all the time, man, you can't make me mad. You just got to tell me the truth. And so, you know, he's been enjoying, I think, our relationship, and I've been enjoying it. And it's good to have somebody you can trust to kind of, you know, let you know what you need to do better. And you can do the same to that person. And then all of a sudden you start kind of focusing on the right things. And like I said, not that that wasn't happening before, but it's just a good opportunity to audit everything and kind of start over and relearn those rules, right?
Exactly. And I think that's great that you're so open with, you know, not self-criticisms, but like getting good feedback, because there's times in our fields, we don't want to be told like, hey, you need to do this better. Why did you do it that way? But it seems like you're like, Harrison, I just got to be like open-minded. I can't be too sensitive. But are there times that it can be difficult?
Yeah, it is. It is difficult. And yeah, you're right. Like, you know, you do need to be open-minded. And we feel like as a group that we've not lived up to our potential. And so why is that? Right. You know, it's not for a lack of effort in anyone's department. It wasn't a lack of effort on Brian's department or anything like that, or he wouldn't be on the two car, right? I think it's just a big opportunity for us to kind of self audit. And if you're not honest with yourself and you can't look at yourself in the mirror and say, I need to be better at this, then you're in the wrong field, because the best drivers in the world don't win most of the time. So, you know, what do you have to do to kind of win the little things and win every day something? And that's what we're working on right now.
That's great, great mentality to be able to say, you know what, I have to have a reason to get up from bed. And I also have to celebrate those small successes. Even if everybody focuses on the box score, it's about, okay, did we do this better? Great. Did we do this one even better? So it sounds like you guys are on the right path. And, you know, how much of this is kind of a, not a relief, but more of a, well, thank goodness we actually get some real relevant track time together before we start to really gear up for next season.
Yeah, for sure. The next season, you know, right now we're kind of in the feeling out process and we're learning things, and we'll go to, you know, racetracks and not necessarily say we're going to punt on the weekend, but you show up and you're more willing to try things, right? Because we didn't make the playoffs. We're not, you know, in any really significant points race right now. So, you know, we have these, it's really a good opportunity for us to go try things and learn things and what works, what doesn't, you know, and I told Jeremy this, and I'll never be mad if we try something thinking it's going to be better and it's not. Like, I get it. We got to try things. We've got to be better. And so, yeah, that's a great opportunity that we've kind of been given, right? Is, okay, you have 6 weeks or so to figure this out between you two. And be ready to go for next year, and the expectation changes next year. So we've had a good few weeks of learning, and I feel like this weekend at Las Vegas we're going to be able to kind of put some of the learning behind us and go kind of more conventional and go try and just run well and build some confidence, and I'm excited about that for sure.
And this is where things get to the nice nitty gritty for the rest of the year, because unlike, you know, the last several races where we've had some of the crazier tracks, this is more of the, you know, the bread and butter, if you will, of the series, the intermediates, and then Martinsville. So certainly to your point, I think that's going to be a good evaluation period for you guys. But of course, in NASCAR or any walk of life, you have to have some friendships. And it was highlighted, I think, during the rain delay at Michigan this year that you have a pretty good relationship, or friendship rather, with Todd Gilliland and Austin Cindric. You guys were playing some Nintendo Wii, and I was thinking, man, do you guys know about the Nintendo Switch? But I'm guessing this is kind of a more of a generational thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. We, you know, Austin brought a Nintendo Wii, and he's got an Airstream. Sometimes he brings an Airstream to the racetrack, and it's kind of funny because he's like the tallest driver in the smallest bus, right? But he comes crawling out of that thing with a Wii every now and then, and you know, at Michigan, we had the rain delay, so we decided to get some Wii bowling and tennis and all that in. And it's good. It's a good time. You know, it's fun to have people you can kind of trust and race hard with on the racetrack, but be buddies with off it. You know, we're all pretty young, and you know, you're away from home a lot, and it's hard. If you were alone at this, it would be really, really hard. So, you know, it's really nice for all of us to kind of have someone that can talk about things and understand things. And, you know, I know I've talked about my racing career with those two guys more than probably most other people, I guess my girlfriend and my parents. And other than that, you know, those guys kind of know it all as well. So, you know, it's definitely good to have some buddies to kind of lean on and kind of, you know, pick their brains at what they're going through, and hopefully you can help them as well. And it's been good. So, yeah, those are some good friends to have for sure.
I thought it was a lot of fun, and I really feel like when you guys come back to Texas Motor Speedway next April, you guys should have that race on the Big Hoss TV. I'm just saying, yeah. That'd be fantastic to watch.
Yeah, that would be good. We talked about, a lot of people were asking us to stream it maybe. I don't know that we're going to do that or not. I really don't know how to even stream anything. I'm not very technologically advanced, I guess, but you know, it's definitely would be entertaining. The trash talk is pretty awesome for sure.
I was going to say, you guys have to get a little competitive being race car drivers. So I'm sure it's not like, hey, buddy, that was awesome, good job. I'm sure you guys talk smack.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Me and Todd were actually just talking trash about the Corey LaJoie kickball game we were in. He has I think it's called the Kickball Classic, where he's got, you know, all these drivers and professional athletes that come out and play kickball. And, you know, it's a charity event. So people buy teams, and somehow I keep getting drafted to teams. Todd was his first year out there. So we're literally just still talking about that. That was last week, and we were still talking trash about it. So it's definitely a competitive friend group for sure.
That's always a fun event that you guys do for charity, and the fans get to see a different side to you guys than they're used to seeing at the racetrack and on TV. So I think that's awesome. You guys get to have that camaraderie and a little bit of fun from all the things that happen on the racetrack. And I just thought about this. You guys are all friends, and you all happen to drive for the Ford Performance banner. I mean, is it something that it's like all in the Ford fraternity in this case?
Yeah, it's nice. We kind of all, you know, we're all over the place in the beginning of our careers, and I actually went to the same high school as Austin, right? So I've known him for a long, long time, and Todd and I grew up racing since we were like five against each other, right? And me and him were teammates at Kyle Busch Motorsports, and then kind of went on our own different paths, and then, you know, we're back racing Cup again together. So it was cool. You know, it's been nice to have those people, and then, you know, any Ford team events, me, Austin, and Todd are always talking and hanging out. And, you know, it's definitely a nice, you know, little added bonus that we're all driving for the same manufacturer. And, you know, I can push those guys, and they can push me at restricted play races. And we don't have to worry about pushing a Chevy or a Toyota. We can just push the Fords and still get help from our buddies. So it works out good.
I like it. You do a little bit of trash talking, but you get the real friendship and help on the racetrack. And at least you don't have to owe them any stakes. So it's minimal effort in terms of making those alliances form, right?
No doubt. No doubt.
Now, of course, you also have a good friend in terms of a canine companion. I believe you have a golden retriever named Remy. And as a dog parent, I can tell you how happy I am to have a dog. And I'm just kind of curious how experiences have been like raising Remy in your house.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's a lot hairier in the house now. There's dog fur on everything. And I show up to meetings and I've got dog fur on my, you know, pullover or polo. And I'm always a little bit embarrassed because, like, I do laundry a lot and I keep it kind of away from her. But somehow if I am even near her, there's going to be fur on me for the next 48 hours. So, you know, it's definitely been awesome. She's, you know, been a lot of fun for me and my girlfriend Jenna to kind of take care of and bring to the racetrack a lot. She's a fully traveled dog. She comes to probably, I'd say, a little over half the races and
wow,
stays in the motorhome and flies to and from the racetrack with Jenna. So, you know, it's pretty neat, to have her around and you know, whether you qualify fifth or, you know, 25th, she always kind of is excited when you walk through the motorhome door. So it's a good friend to have around for sure.
Remy's your number one fan. And I think she's just happy that her dad gets to do what he wants to do. And she gets to celebrate or just console you no matter what happens. So it's the best kind of love. I mean, you know what love is, but dog love's the best, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. She's it's unwavering for sure.
Now, I got a couple more questions for you, my friend, because I know you were going to get ready for Vegas and head out west. So just kind of wanted to take things a little bit differently with you than we usually have. Let's just say that you had all the money and time in the world to make your own kind of dream racetrack for NASCAR. What kind of track would you want to build and where would it be?
That's a good question. My favorite racetrack is Darlington. And my favorite corner in Darlington is 3 and 4. So I'd say just like we'd put it in Charlotte, like downtown Charlotte near the Panthers, Bank of America Stadium over there, and make it a racetrack with straightaways like Darlington. And just make it to Darlington 3 and 4s, and we'll go race there, and then it'll be another home race, so don't have to travel. I think that'd be awesome. So just take whatever they did to make Darlington 3 and 4, do it twice, and throw us out there and be a good show, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would be an awesome idea. I like that. No one's ever said that. And if they present that idea to Kyle Petty, hopefully he doesn't want to have a Bass Pro or Minute Meadow like contest that he keeps talking about.
Right.
So I love that idea, man. That's awesome. Now, let's just say the SiriusXM radio approaches you and they're like, "Hey, Harrison, it's off season time and we want you to be a guest DJ for a day. What kind of songs and which artists
Ooh,
would you be playing?"
that's a really good question. I listen to a lot of different music. Listen to country music probably mostly. I listen to rap. I listen to rock. I don't know. I like the songs that I've kind of been getting into more now are like, I was talking to one of our guys on the 21 car, Kyle Belmont, who's a mechanic on the car, and we were talking about how Guardians of the Galaxy kind of brought back like all that kind of older classic rock style music. And so play some songs like that and be jamming out. We've been playing that behind the at the old service plate where we work on the race car. There's been a lot of that kind of music been playing recently, I think because it's Belmont's had the aux cord recently, so there's been a lot of that. But I don't necessarily say I'd listen to that the most, but I feel like those are always good radio songs, so that's what I would go with.
I like it. And I'm sure if your dad heard you listening to ELO, he all of a sudden would think he's back in high school.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's perfect. Everyone loves it nowadays. So you can make your listener fan base would be really big. So analytically, that'd be a good choice as well.
I love it, man. Well, before we wrap it up, I know you have to get going, but is there anything you want to say to the fans, your fans, or our readers and listeners on TPF?
Yeah, just thanks for tuning in, obviously. And then I don't know. I think the best thing that you guys could do is whenever Todd Gilliland or Austin Cindric walk across the stage, if you're at a racetrack, just say you like Harrison better. And then we'll get out of there and be in their head, and then hopefully they'll just they'll have a little bit worse race than me because of that. So that's my plea to you guys.
Okay, we'll make that happen. So you race fans, you listen to Mr. Burton. If you do that, I think you'll be your friend and life will be good. So we'll make that
There you go.
happen. And man, I always appreciate talking to you. Hopefully we get to catch up again real soon, but I want to wish you best of luck in the last several races of this season. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
And that was Harrison Burton, driver of the number 21 Motorcraft Quicklane Dex Imaging Ford Mustang entry, fielded by Wood Brothers Racing. My thanks, of course, to Harrison Burton for making that interview possible with me earlier this week. We always appreciate getting to interview him for our fans on the podium finish. And also my thanks, of course, to his public relations manager, Taylor Smith, for being so courteous and prompt with making that interview possible. Stay tuned for the story edition of that and on YouTube later this week. Well, I hope you enjoyed episode number 91, a solo cast, if you will, because it is time for me to go and wrap up this episode. So, for Harrison Burton, I'm your host, Rob Tionkson, saying thank you so much for joining me on episode number 91 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. Check out our previous episodes on any major podcasting platforms, and stay tuned for episode number 92 next week of TPF Live, which will be the post-Las Vegas, pre-Homestead edition of our show. Now, as I always like to say, let's all go get the checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.